and other stories, and new restrictions on low-skilled migrants coming to Britain would be introduced at the end of this year under plans being drawn up by ministers. The reforms would come into effect when the Brexit transition period ends in December, 2 years earlier than had been planned previously, and scrapping a temporary extension of existing rules that was promised by Theresa May. This was amid pressure from business groups. Home Secretary Priti Patel is expected to present the proposals to the Cabinet this week. But these changes risk bringing Boris Johnson into conflict with groups such as the CBI, which has said companies need at least 2 years to adapt to any new immigration system. At the weekend, Chancellor Sajid Javid warned businesses to scrap demands for Britain to remain in close alignment with EU rules after Brexit, saying companies had had 3 years to prepare for the UK's departure. To Ivan Sampson, who's partner and head of immigration at Healy's, and joins me now. Explain what this means in practical terms for my listeners as regards certain employment and certain jobs. Good morning.
Hi, Nick. The government has been trying to reach this migration target for a number of years. And although they've now decided not to commit themselves to any numbers, they still want to please those parts of the country that want to reduce low-skill migration to the UK, thinking that UK workers or resident workers can do the jobs instead. But the fact remains is that we have an estimated 500,000 people, either non-EU or non-UK resident workers, working in low-skill jobs. And that was an estimate by the Migration Observatory at the University of Oxford in August 2018. And with us leaving the, we'll be leaving the EU, but it could be an end to the free movement at the end of this year. Mm-hmm. Employers won't be able to draw on the pool of EU workers.
So what sort of jobs might we be talking about, Mr. Sampson?
Well, mostly they tend to be in hospitality or the agricultural or the care industry. Look, one of my clients in particular, his care home, high needs dementia unit, is closing down.
Right.
It's a threat of closure because he just can't recruit someone to work in the middle of Norfolk.
Right.
And what the government is saying, we're going to increase the youth mobility scheme for Australians and Canadians to meet the demands. Well, people want to work by the seaside or in shops or in London. Nobody wants to work in the middle of a rural community like Lincolnshire
Norfolk. Why don't local Lincolnshire folk or Norfolk folk, why don't they want the job?
That is a wider question. The fact is that British workers, resident workers, don't want to do these jobs. The risk is that we're going to get exploitation. Even if we have a work permit system for low-skill workers, you'll see exploitation by employers. So we need to have some very careful statutory guidelines and minimum wages for these people.
But isn't exploitation already present in as much as possibly the reason that the local folk in Norfolk and Lincoln don't want to do the job is because, I have no idea, but because the wages perhaps they're paid are exploitative in and of themselves?
Well, we have minimum wage in this country for any workers. It's still there. But the point is, if you don't have these work permits, people are going to bring these work. Trafficking will increase. And if you think that Australians and Canadians are going to fill these roles, they won't. The government haven't thought this through properly.
Right. So that's that impact. And presumably, if we come then to the, I think, did you mention the fruit or the farming trade as well? Is this the idea that we have the certain times of the year when we need these people to come in to do the harvesting, whatever it might be, the potatoes or the fruit or whatever it might be? Is that now in jeopardy?
Well, no, it's not in jeopardy, but the thing is to get people to come for a few months of the year, it's going to be difficult. There's no future for them for a long term. So whether they're going to attract the numbers, we simply don't know. Can I just say that we don't know what the proposals are? I'm commenting on proposals I haven't seen yet.
Sure.
So we've got to wait and see what the proposals are before we can make a proper assessment of them.
Were Mr. Johnson here or one of his team, would they not say, but what you don't realise, Mr. Sampson, is that this Aussie-based system means that if we need to, and I do appreciate we're talking about human individuals here, but if we need to turn on the tap to get in more fruit pickers or more care workers in Norfolk, then we just suddenly make it possible. Isn't that what they... I'm not saying they're right, but that's what they would suggest, isn't it?
Yeah, they are suggesting that. They think they're going to fill it with the youth mobility scheme. The stats don't bear that out. You don't get Australians and Canadians working in these industries. They just simply don't do it.
Right. And lastly, for the other side of the coin, where people who have been working in this country as plasterers or carpenters or builders or bricklayers, and they say that their day rate has been dramatically brought down by, they would say again, the influx of a lot of people from Eastern Europe. Will it be addressing that issue now? Will they be able to say they can earn a decent rate again?
Well, we don't know. There's going to be a new points-based system, so the government is saying, for EU workers. What that is, we simply don't know again. It's all up in the air, and I'm sure the civil servants are hard at it working out what the system is going to be. But so we simply have to wait and see.
All right. I'm grateful to you. Thank you. As you say, these forms or the full detail has yet to be released. Ivan Sampson, your partner and head of immigration at Healey's. And this is the aspect. And, of course, as we said,